Football season. You may have heard a football coach, he comes out and the game didn't go the way he expected. He may have been dominated on his offensive line and defeated in his run game, in his protection of the quarterback. Then on defense, he didn't have it turn out like he expected. The offense of the other team ran over his defense, and both on the ground and in the air, they defeated him. And sometimes it happens that a sportscaster will come up to the coach and interview him after the game, and he says, "What happened? Why did you get dominated?" And sometimes you'll hear the guy say, "Well, we got out of our game plan. We got out of our game plan." Sometimes you'll see a boxer and championship level boxer, but he gets beat. And a sportscaster will come up to him and say, Why did you lose the fight like that?" He said, "I was doing good," sometimes he says, "but I got out of my game plan." Mike Tyson said, "You have your plans, but then you get hit in the nose and then things change." This morning, I want to give you three things from the Bible and from the Gospel of Matthew and the book of Acts to help you stay with your game plan. Stay with your game plan. Three things. And I want to say, number one, you need to stay with your game plan by staying with your program, which is God's program. And that's in Matthew chapter 28. 18 through 20. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, our commander-in-chief. And they're his last commands to you and to me if you're a believer before he ascended into heaven after his resurrection. And here's what he said, Matthew 28. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, this is the program of the Lord Jesus, his last commands before he left earth. And this is the game plan. And you need to stay with this program. I have sought as a pastor, now finishing up my 47th year as senior pastor, I have sought to stay with the game plan. That's the game plan. And that's the Lord's plan. Now, you may have your plan. I may have my plan. But that's the Lord's plan that we're looking. And he says basically four things here. Three are what we call participles, and one is the main verb. The main verb is the meat of it. That's the sandwich. That's the meat in the middle of the sandwich. That's the most important thing. The other things, though, go along with it. The main verb is teach all nations. What does that mean? Teach all different ethnic groups of people. Red, yellow, black, white. It doesn't matter. It's not race. It's grace. Race doesn't matter. People try to get people sidetracked into that kind of hogwash. That is not, Jesus is not for any race or nationality. He's for all nations. Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world, the song says. He died and gave his own blood. He was the first martyr. He gave his blood so that we might have something to offer every person. And that thing that we have to offer is that God-shaped vacuum that your job won't fill, that your significant other won't fill, that drugs won't fill, that even your intellect and knowledge won't fill. It is a relationship with the God of the Bible. Jesus died to give that as a free gift to anybody. You don't have to have a church background even to get that gift. It's a free gift. He's offering it today. He died, he was buried, he rose from the dead. So when he says, if you've received that gift, My command to you is, my main verb is, you go to all different people and tell them that they're sinners, that they're going to die, and that they're going to have to go to hell to pay for their sin, but I died for the world so that anybody in the world that believes that I am the Savior, God in the flesh, that paid for sin and rose again, you'll go to heaven when you die, and you'll be in a personal relationship to God. That is the main message. You may hear me say it over and over again in church, but I don't just say it in church. I say it out of church to everybody I can talk to for as long as I... Why? Because that is the plan. And that's the plan that you need to get a hold of. And in order to fulfill that plan, Jesus said you need to go with that in mind. You need to go with that in mind. There should be a time when you are going out there with that in mind every week. And whenever you go, you should always be soul conscious. Because as we just saw this week, we don't know when somebody's going to die. How about that lady in the subway? How many saw her picture? I wonder if anybody told her how to go to heaven when you die. I wonder if she expected to die. Didn't look like it. She just got in the subway. Was just sitting there. And suddenly that man did a racist crime and killed her in hate, stabbing her in the neck repeatedly. And I'm just saying, I don't know if I'm going to finish this sermon. You don't either. You don't know what will happen to you, and so we need to be going, and every moment we go, we need to be soul conscious that that person, their body's going to die, and their soul will leave their body and either go to hell forever or go to heaven. That's the thing he says. And then he says, when somebody believes, this is very important, when they believe, they need to put on the uniform that they're a believer. They need to put on their uniform, the Jesus team. I'm now on Jesus' team. You say, well, how do I put that uniform on? As soon as you believe, he wants you to do this right away. Now, some people put things off, but he wants you to do it right away. And you say, what is that? He wants you to get baptized. You say, does that mean sprinkle a little water on my hair? Or sprinkle me when I'm a baby? No. Infant baptism is not baptism. The Bible says believe first and then get baptized. I got married first, then I got the wedding ring on. I'm saying that baptism, the word means to dip underwater. It means to be dunked. It means to go down like Jesus went down in the ground and then came up when he died and rose again. It's a picture that you have died and you've been buried and you're raised to a new life when you accepted Jesus Christ. And that is what you need to do. One time you get saved once, you should get baptized once after you get saved. You say, well, I was baptized as a baby. That doesn't count. That's not baptism. And when you get baptized, that is a way to witness to others that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. But not only that, there's a third participle, and that is, he said, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. People say, oh, that's just teach them the whole Bible. No, he's not talking about their teaching the whole Bible. We are to do that, but that's not what that's talking about. That's talking about those that, listen, get saved and get baptized. They should join the church, get on God's team, and then you need to teach them these three commands: to go, to get people saved by telling them the gospel, and then baptizing them. You need to teach that to every believer, because if you just have a general fighting in the war, you're not going to win the war. You have to have foot soldiers. God wants every one of you who are saved to be baptized, join the church, and then tell others the message and get them saved yourself and get them baptized. And that's the program. I wonder, are you involved with the program? Staying with the game plan by staying with the program of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're starting a new business year this month, and the Bible says we need to do things according to God's will. And our theme this year is things to fix in 2026. Do you need to fix your life and get it in tune with this program? Are you leading people to the Lord? Are you conscious of people when you're out there and turn the conversation? Are you getting people baptized once you lead them to the Lord? And then are you training somebody to go with you? If you're not, you're not a great commission Christian. You're maybe ding-dinging along till the rapture. You're kind of half in and half out. You're what they call half-baked. And I don't want to be half-baked. I want to be right in with the program. And we have in the church a training ministry to help with that on Thursday at 6 and on Saturdays at 11:15 and so forth. So I'm saying stay with your game plan by staying with your program. Don't just be a crisis Christian. Well, I'll do something when something great crisis happens. A crisis can lead you to do something right, but stay with it. Don't just be here one day after a crisis. Stay with the plan. Stay with the program. Don't get out of the game plan. And you'll be blessed. And this morning, the message is stay with your game plan by staying with your program as a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you have not trusted Jesus Christ, there's no time like the present, because as we have seen in recent days, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, your life can be taken out like that. Your life is in God's hands. Charlie Kirk had a bulletproof vest on, as I told my Sunday school class. He was hit with a .30-06 bullet that I understand hit the bulletproof vest. But that is a powerful weapon. I have that weapon. I've used it on deer. And that bullet hit him in the bulletproof vest and ricocheted up into his neck and hit his carotid artery. Now, God could have spared him. Donald Trump turned his head, and the bullet whizzed by his ear. Just a few inches to the right, Trump would have been dead. I'm just saying to you that your life is in God's hands. It's not in any wicked person's hands. They may think it is, but it's in God's hands. And what I'm saying is, it's so important that you, on the last day of your life, you're doing the will of God. Right. On the last moment of your life, what was Jesus doing on the last moment of his life? Well, what did he say? He said, the last thing he said before he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The last thing he said was, it is finished. In other words, he had a job to do that only he could do. Do you know you got a job to do only you can do? Only you can witness to certain people. I'm not going to see them. I'm not going to see them. But you're going to see them. And if you don't tell them and they die and go to hell, their blood is on your hands if you're a believer. You have their blood on your hands. And I'm just saying there are a lot of people that are ignorant, they're dying, they're being mistaught, they're being radicalized, they're getting all. And what all we need, Edmund Burke said, for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do what? Squat. Nothing. Nothing. Why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? That's what Charlie Kirk did. And so That is what is needed. Brother Bob would tell you, probably Christians, a very small percentage, a minority percentage, even vote in an election. The Bible says, my people perish. They die and go to hell. That means for lack of knowledge. You know so much more. You say, well, I just couldn't do it. You could read the back of the tract to somebody that we have out there and lead them to Jesus Christ. We're responsible. Yes, get with the program, but then stay with the program every day. And you say, how do you stay with the program, Pastor, for 47 years, one day at a time? How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? How do you go 1,000 miles one step at a time? And so stay with the game plan. Stay with your program. And I believe that you will win. And Jesus did it. He's our example. He did it right up until the last day that he was here on earth. And you need to do the same thing. But there's a second thing I want to say, and that is stay with your game plan by staying with your people. Staying with your people. This program, according to the Lord Jesus, could not go forward until the first disciples, God's people, waited in the city of Jerusalem, and they had to wait for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to carry out their mission. You see, Jesus said, stay here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes down and baptizes you in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you will have the strength to go out. Before that, they were afraid. Before that, they were hiding in the upper room. But when they received the Holy Spirit, who was in heaven but came down, then they had the presence and at the same time the power of the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God in such a way that the people listened to what they said, and they were convicted about what they said. And it was not just the apostles witnessing or the disciples, it was also the Holy Spirit. When I'm up here preaching, I don't want to be just speaking as the only one that's speaking. I want the Holy Spirit to be speaking to your heart. And we pray for that. They were to do that the first time, and they waited 10 days, but that was something that needed to be repeated. Because you see, they got opposed, and they had people that tried to knock out of them the Holy Spirit's power. And so they had to go back and get more. You've got a car, you run the gas out of it, and what do you have to do? Go back to the gas station to get more. And that's what they did in the book of Acts. They prayed for more of the Holy Spirit to re-energize them, to refill them, so that they could carry out this great commission to go out there to tell people the good news and to invite them to trust Jesus Christ, and then to lead them to get baptized and join the army of God, and then to take them out and train them. That required them to keep on praying for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if they didn't have that power, then they would not have people getting saved. And if you don't have people getting saved, you're not accomplishing the mission. You see, Peter, when he preached, 3,000 got saved. They only had just 150 people, then they had 3,000. And then, you see, multitudes of people were reached. I appreciate somebody like Charlie Kirk, who went out on the college campuses and reached a lot of people. Now, there are people you can reach that Charlie Kirk won't reach. There are people that you can reach that I won't reach. But you can do your part. And you need to have God's presence in your life and God's power in your life. And one of the things that keeps me, listen to me, to have short accounts with God and to confess sin in my life, I don't wait till Sunday to confess sin. I confess it on Monday. I confess it on Tuesday. Whenever I sin, I confess it. And I ask Jesus to cleanse me by his blood and to refill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because, listen, 24/7, you and I need to stay with the program. And you and I, listen, we need to get people. You know something? Look at Jesus. Did he have people around him? I realize every one of those people weren't his disciples, but he had a lot of people around him. You say, why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. How about the apostles? Did they have people around them? Look at Jerusalem. The church only had just over 100 members. And they went to 3,120, and then they went to 5,000, and then the Jerusalem church at minimum had 25,000 people, at minimum, over 100,000 at maximum. One church. I'm saying, God says if you stay with the program, you need to pray for the power and get people. Get people. That is the test to see that you're doing something for God. I like what Charlie Kirk said. He said, you men, you want to be the head of your home. And he said, yeah, you're the head of your home. He said, the wife is the protector of that household. And you're out there doing battle, and you're the head of your home. He said, that means you put yourself last. You put her first. You make sure you're taking care of her, that you're buying things for her, that you're providing for her. In other words, you want to get married, and you want to have a wife. Well, then if you're broke, you're a joke. Have you learned how to have a job, he would say, and support yourself and save your money so that you can take care of her, because she's going to be very busy protecting that home and needs you to have cash so you can be a smash and not be broke and be a joke. And you know what? If you're a believer, listen to me, if you're a believer and you never have somebody coming to Christ because of you, you never have somebody getting baptized because of you, you don't have people getting down the aisle, joining the church and telling others because of you, then you're broke. You're a joke. You're a joke to Satan. And he wants that. But God wants you to stay with the program of the Lord Jesus. And God wants you to have the power of God and the presence of God in your life. Why? So that you can get more people. And you can have a part. And you know what Jesus said, don't you? He said, in order to bring forth fruit, a corn of wheat must first do what? Fall into the ground and die. And then it will spring up and bring forth fruit. You know, the problem with many Christian workers is they've fallen into the ground, but they haven't died. One Christian, George Mueller, said, I'm a walking dead man. At any time, my life could be taken. Because I am here to do the will of God for my life. If you're not doing that 24/7, then you're not going to see Jesus shining through, and others will not hear of Jesus through you. But I'm saying this morning that God wants us to get back to the game plan and stay with the program of the Lord. And God wants us to get back to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And so you can stay with people, stay with your people, the people that God will give you and that he will he will bless you with. Thursday night, my secretary gave me some people to visit up in Carbondale. So I went up to Carbondale to visit people. And I was up there, and it was getting dark, and I was in that dark city, and Carbondale has been a graveyard of many preachers, you know, but I've been staying with the program, and I've been going up to Carbondale recently, and I was up there in Carbondale, and you know what, when I was up there, I couldn't find the address I was supposed to go to. My GPS was giving me trouble, so I just drove down into the downtown, and right around where you live, Mickey, right around there, and I saw a street called River Street, and a bunch of teenagers out in front of River, so I just went by the house, parked at a Turkey Hill, walked back, and I started talking to the teenagers, telling them I can't find my directions. Help me out, would you? One guy was very nice. He helped me out. His brother listened to me. There were some girls there too. They were kind of listening. But these guys, I got to tell them how to receive the gift of eternal life, and they received Christ and prayed to receive Christ right there in front of their house. Now, there was another guy next door. He didn't want me there. He said, would you please move out in front of my door? And I said, yeah, of course. I moved down to their door just next door and continued to talk with them. Got their address, got their information, so I can go back and help them to get baptized and put on the uniform and get on God's team. And then I went over and talked to some older men at the Turkey Hill and gave them some tracts, and we discussed some things. And then I went from there, and I parked in a vacant lot. Actually, it was just after-hour business. Nobody was there. And I parked, and I walked up to where I was supposed to go. And come to find out, they said, yeah, this is the lady's house you're looking for. She's right there. And they said, but... While I was there, I signed up another family for the bus. They said, are you in Matt's church? I said, yeah, I'm Matt's pastor. Well, I want to have my kids go on the bus. I said, good, give me your address. So we did that. And then the lady was across the street I was trying to visit, but she was talking to these people in a car, and I'm like, should I go over there? Yeah, I'll go over there. Jesus said, go, right? Step out, go. I went over there, and come to find out, it was Bert's, who has 10 kids and who rides Matt's bus. He and his wife were there in the car, and it was his wife's mother that I was visiting. That's the one that was calling you all morning, Alicia. Because she wanted to get out to church. I still don't know if she made it. I doubt it. But anyway, I'm just saying, stay with your people. I went back to Carbondale on Saturday with a faithful deacon named Jesse, because Matt is out of town with his fiancée, introducing her to the family. By the way, Lord willing and the crick don't rise, he's getting married here in the church, Matt McWhorter, June the 26th, 2026, right here in a church wedding, doing it God's way. But he's out of town, so Deacon Jesse, who got saved when he was a teenager, through a bus captain in our church, he was up there with me, and Jesse told me this morning, he said, if we'd have had everybody, we could have 100 people from there on that bus. We had 31 as it was this morning. I'm just saying, stay with your people. Perhaps I've led 236 people to the Lord this year since January, had number of people baptized. That's just my personal. You can have your part. That's how we win the war. That's how we stay with the game plan, by staying with the program of Jesus Christ, not your program or my program, but his program. That's a life that's going to be worth it when you come to the end. Charlie Kirk wanted this at the end of his life. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know how you get that? You don't get that by crisis Christianity. You get that by staying with the program and by staying with the people that God wants you to get saved and get baptized and then go out and train them. I'm getting ready for a new semester, and I'm looking to train somebody. I've already asked them to pray about it. But they may not work out. I don't know. I'd like to have somebody to go out with for this semester. Charlie Kirk, he interviewed his wife for a job. Erica, before she was his wife, took her to a burger place in New York. And he interviewed her, and he interviewed her. And the more he interviewed her, the more he realized, I don't want to hire her. Not because she wasn't qualified, she was excellent, but because he wanted to date her. And he goes, I'm not going to hire you. And she goes, oh, okay. He said, but I'd like to date you. She said, well, can we just be friends? He said, I got enough friends. I want to date you. He said, you got till tomorrow night to decide if you're going to date me. And she made that decision to date him, and the rest was history. I'm looking for somebody not to marry. I got a wife. Great wife. Amen? Amen, Bobby? I'm just looking for a soul-winning partner. Some guy that'll go out and be a soul-winning partner for a semester. I'm saying, stay with your game plan by staying with the program, by staying with your people. And the last thing I want to say this morning is by staying with your persecution. You know, the early church had prayer. Then the power of God came. Then they proclaimed to others the word of God, and they got people. And when they got people, guess what? The devil didn't like it, and they persecuted them. And they started to arrest them and put them in jail and beat them. Boy, we're starting to see persecution in this country. For politics. Since when do you persecute a person and put them in jail for their politics in this country? You're supposed to have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And persecution is what happened to the early church. And then it happened. They had the first martyr. He was a deacon in the church. And the reason why they killed him is the Bible is very clear. They could not deal with his words. He was too smart. He was too wise. He knew the Bible. Who does that remind you of? He was talking to them about it. They couldn't handle it. And here's what the Bible said. It says, then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him. That's Deacon Stephen. With one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Can I say something? I said it Wednesday night. You cannot kill Jesus successfully. They did kill him, but he rose from the dead. By the way, they killed Charlie Kirk, but Charlie Kirk will rise from the dead. They killed Charlie Kirk's body, but his soul and spirit are now rejoicing with the Lord. And you cannot kill Christianity by doing that, because the blood of the martyrs, it has been said, is the seed of the church. I believe the blood that was shed is influencing people that are here today. I believe there are people here today because of what happened. And it's happening all across the country. You see, 9/11, Jose, you remember this. In New York, a lot of people went to church. They had unity in Congress between Democrats and Republicans, and they sang Kumbaya, and it was all nice. It did not last. It did not last. But I believe what Jesus did and what Stephen did oh, it had an impactful, lasting effect. And I believe what happened with Charlie Kirk is going to last. Because he's a Christian martyr, not just a political martyr. He's a Christian martyr. His, by the way, most of the signers of the Declaration and of the Constitution, they were born again believers who knew all about this Bible. That's why America is unique among the nations of the world. Our Bill of Rights is, and you guys that are in a government school, they're brainwashing you not to believe this. They're brainwashing you into Marxist communism. Bernie Sanders doesn't believe in rights of people. He believes you shouldn't have any private property. He's not going to say that right up front, but that's what he believes. That's what these people believe. And Charlie Kirk did not believe that because he believed the Bible, and he taught and explained that to people on college campuses, and he became a martyr because of that. And what happened when Stephen was martyred, when they stoned him? There was another deacon by the name of Philip, and guess what Philip did? He stepped up to the plate and he said, Stephen just went to heaven, now I've got to start witnessing. And Philip became Philip the Evangelist, and he went to a city of Samaria, and he led the whole city to the Lord. Do you know what? I keep going back to Carbondale because I believe Carbondale's getting ready to really have a lot of people saved in Carbondale. It's been like in the grip of the false religion and so forth, but it's getting ready. And how is it going to be? By staying with the program, by praying for the power of God and going to the people and seeing them get saved, and by not backing down because of persecution. Don't let that intimidate you. I'm not even talking about a bullet. Somebody says, like they said to me, hey, get away from my front door. Okay. Move on to the next and keep going. That's what happened with Philip. And then what does the Bible say here? It says that when Stephen was martyred, more people got martyred. Saul of Tarsus started killing more people. He went mad. He started arresting. Have you seen when Charlie Kirk went down all the people that talked about killing people like that? It's like a shark that gets blood, and now they want more. Hey, you ever see the shark attacks around America and Florida? I believe it's a picture from God of the hatred of God that exists. And the desire to kill an effective witness because you can't handle what he's saying. Freedom of speech. Satan doesn't like that. And they call him the fascist. They say, we're the anti-fascist. If he was a fascist, he'd have machine guns like Hitler did and mow everybody down. That's what a fascist does. It's not what Charlie Kirk does. People don't even understand what a fascist is. And I'm just saying that persecution will not stop God's work. And there was persecution that went out against these people, and the Bible says it got so bad, listen, that it got so bad that the people left Jerusalem. You know, when Charlie Kirk got shot, you see the people running every which way? The people left Jerusalem. But here's the good news. When they left Jerusalem, it said they went everywhere they went, and they were preaching the word. And the word for preaching means they were gossiping, like you were telling people, this is my favorite restaurant, or go here. They were telling people about Jesus, their friends, their family members, their acquaintances. They were everywhere doing that. Do you know why God let that persecution happen and Stephen get killed and other people get killed after? And there'll be other people that will die in America. Do you know why he lets it happen? To get us out of our comfort zone. To get you out of your comfort zone. And the people, they had reached their Jerusalem. We haven't even reached ours yet. We haven't even filled this building. Their buildings were filled. But they wanted to just stay there in Jerusalem. They didn't want to go outside of it because it was like heaven on earth. Oh, we're so comfortable. But no, when that persecution happened, it says, and here's what it says about the rank and file, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 8:4. And do you know the result of that? God had told them, don't just reach Jerusalem, go off into Judea and Samaria, which Philip did, but go beyond even that. And what happened was non-Jews started getting saved. And Gentiles like you and I started getting saved. And a great church was planted in Antioch in Syria. And from that church, this man who was an enemy, Saul, who killed Stephen, this man got right with the Lord, got saved, and he went out as the greatest missionary of all time from that church. And the rest is history. What's going to happen in America? What's going to happen in your life? Are you going to let the blood of the martyrs be in vain? Brother Eric was just saying in prayer about Elizabeth Elliot. How many have heard of Elizabeth Elliot? Her husband, when she was very young and he was young, was named Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Well, Jim Elliot, along with Nate Saint, his friend, and other men, went down to South America to reach the Auca headhunter Indians. And they went to land their plane in a beach, and they went to help these Indians, and these headhunters killed all of them. You say, what did their wives do? What did their families do? Go in and mow them all down, these head-hunting Indians? No. They moved to South America and became missionaries, won these people to Christ. And I've heard their testimony. They got saved. Their lives got changed. And a great church was down there of these people. You see, we've got something that the world cannot understand. And God wants you to stay with his game plan, with his program, stay with his people and the power of God to get people and to stay with persecution. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. God will bless it. How many of you heard Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, afterward talk about, she's not going to let this stop her and stop her husband's mission? How about you? Will you make sure it's not in vain? The blood of the martyrs, embrace persecution. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. I wonder,